Welcome to VFN Radio. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and I just want to let you know that we're here to encourage you this Wednesday morning. And joining me this morning to encourage you is the producer of VFN Radio and VFN TV, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And a special guest, soon to be all the way from Pittsburgh, but now 4 feet away. Good morning, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Know this, that if we have heard about your need, we are in prayer for you this morning. Be encouraged that all is well. I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord is speaking prophetically. We're going to share some words with you this morning that's going to so encourage you and give you insight from Chuck Pierce, a prophet out of Texas, about the signs of the times and where we're at and how God already told us in advance what will be taking place. Well, welcome our new listeners this morning, Cindy, Sharon, James, Patricia, Joyce, Oliver, Loretta, Sharon, Ellen, Virginia, Danny. Welcome to the VFN Radio audience from around the world. Also want to welcome Noel from Puerto Rico. Give a shout out this morning to Joanne in New York. I hear y'all had a wonderful gathering last night. God is good and the love of the Lord is in the Northeast. Give a shout out to all of our listeners in Israel. Good morning. We stand with Israel. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
Doing wonderfully well.
All right. That's amazing, huh?
Excellent.
Totally amazing.
Well, also, God is good.
Yes. Isn't he good?
All the time.
He is so amazingly, amazingly.
Right on time.
Amazingly right. Also joining us is our special guest, Steve Kalaszewski.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi. How are you?
How you doing?
Is that
how
your, are you? Your mic voice?
Good morning.
Good morning. Is it snowing in Pittsburgh?
I don't think so. I hope not.
I think it's snowing. Brett told me it's snowing in Denver. Oh, he went to the mountains. But I think I saw the Denver Broncos playing. No, I saw them playing. And there was snow on the side of the field. I don't know if I saw that right or not, but it's Maha Stadium.
So. Really? Already?
Wow.
I don't know. It could have been. I think I did.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been.
I think I saw snow.
It's fall.
Well, there's always snow in the mountaintops.
Is it? Well, it's mile high. So
this is true.
You know,
this is very true.
That's like way above our heads down here in the flatlands.
Right.
You know, I just want to give a shout out this morning to all of our VFN family that's out there. Say a good morning and a hello. And, oh, by the way, this is that.
Amen.
The things that you're seeing take place and that God has prepared us for a day such as this. And those that are hearing the voice of the Lord, we're just so excited that we're going to share with you by God's grace today Chuck Pierce is going to be speaking about a prophetic word over America that came in 2005, and then another one came in 2008, And there's multi dimensions to what God's doing. You know, he lets us know in part and prophesy in part.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just hang around just one part, you can be overly excited or underly depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get the peripheral word of God and hear, you know, all of us together have the mind of Christ. Not mm-hmm. I have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Then you get a balanced word from God. You know, the fullness of what God is saying. And rest assured, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're God's, you know, if you're God's, I meant he's got you.
That's right.
You know, if you are Jesus Christ's younger brother, younger sister, if he's the Lord of your life, mm-hmm. if God is your father through his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
if you are an abider, you hang out with him, you listen to him, you hide his word in your heart, and you do your best to do what he impresses on you to do or tells you to do, and talking and just conversating with God, you mm-hmm. know, then you can't get any more right than that. You know, you don't get more saved. I mean, you're either saved or not.
Right.
So you're not like, I think I'm more saved than I was.
Right, right.
Although you can feel more saved at times. And normally it's like, the one time is like, I don't feel like I'm saved. It's probably that's probably the epitome of your salvation. That mm-hmm. like, you're like the peak of it.
Yeah. Right. That's when the breakthrough comes through.
The breakthrough Amen. Comes through. Can you please pick me off the floor? And then all of a sudden the Lord says, you are blessed and highly favored. Go get the wheelchair. I'm going to do many things from you. Lift my arm up. It won't move.
Yeah, right.
Well, how are you going to do this? My flesh is dead. And he goes, the whole heavenly host just stops going, holy, 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 and says, Pat, finally.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No, you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did. Well, you know, I got a chance to... Man, DW, if you've never heard DW.DE, you know, those are four letters. I'm going to give you the letters in military terminology. That would be D, Delta, right? W,
Whiskey.
Seriously.
Whiskey?
W as in whiskey.
Roger.
That's a firm, sir.
Okay, Delta Whiskey dot... Delta Edward, right? No, Echo.
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 Roger.
So then the URL would be Delta Whiskey dot Delta Echo. DW.DE. And it was so refreshing because, you know, I've seen them before because our university has them come on their exciting station. Oh. And University of West Florida,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Graduate. And it's just like, it's real news. And it's not from America, and they're Germans, and they're speaking English, but you know, but it's aggressive questioning of everybody involved
mm-hmm.
with no dog in the fight. And it's just beautiful. I'm like, I'm almost in tears listening, thinking, oh my goodness, three economists sitting there talking about the world and what's happening. And you know, Greece's economy is bad,
mm-hmm.
and they're wanting and have been having the EU to bail them out, the European Union, but they actually were lying. They were twice as bad as bad. They were twice as bad as bad. They were saying that they were. You know, they made a 50 on the test, but really they were making a 0 on the test.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even tell them. I'm like Greece is like
mm-hmm.
gone.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously it's been around the land and the stuff and the things, but the economy. And then you have Germany, you know, which is pretty cool. Germany, we're going to be talking about anti-Semitism today and that's the root of racism. If we don't deal with anti-Semitism, you know, racism will always be present.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking about that. Chuck Pierce will be talking about that. And but in Germany, 10% of the population has like 50% of the wealth. I mean, the middle wow. class is disappearing in the world.
Wow.
You know, when you hear people talk about the 99%, that's not too far-fetched, you know, that when, you know, three individuals in the world, according to Perry Stone, this report from a particular economist out of maybe Russia or Germany, says they have over $300 trillion. I mean, you have taken somebody's marbles. They're not all yours. You know what I'm saying? And one of these guys is the one that crashed a couple economies, you know, made his money off of, you know, crashing, you know, following. He bets against their economy, and then he makes all this money. His initial start with George Soros, and he is one of those three. And so they can move that money around, and it can just crumble at any moment, you know.
Right.
It's just so fragile. And how many people, you know, that you know in America, they're living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Actually, paycheck to stimulus, to loan shark, to paycheck. I mean, it's crazy some of the things that are going on. And yet, you know, two or three people have $300 trillion that they could pull out of the market and everything crashes. You know, China could call their 40% of our debt and cash in their bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, you know, supposedly, according to Perry Stone, China's already printed up the Amero.
Wow.
You know, and the Amero is a new form of replacing the dollar that would, you know, Canada, United States of America, Mexico, Central America, South America, we would all have one particular economy like the European Union, the EU has. And in the logical sense, outside of God, you know, it makes sense, except for one thing, understanding God and understanding how God does things, it's demonic.
You know,
God tells us, you know, you don't marry an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
He told Israel, he said, don't intermarry with pagan nations, you know, and if he gives you a sovereign nation that he blesses, don't mix that sovereign nation with another nation who denies him. The sad thing is we have people in our leadership now that's basically, well, they're partnering openly with people who deny that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And just amazing, just totally amazing. Some things that are going on. And it's sort of like it's the Jezebel argument, you know, Jezebel and Ahab. You know, Ahab was a king chosen by God to lead God's people, so he was God's man.
Mm-hmm.
Now his dad gave him some advice. He said, "Listen, you need to go marry this king's daughter because they got some wealth and some power and their economies. Like, we need to merge our two economies." And so he marries his daughter, and his daughter's name was Jezebel. And so you have King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, since he intermarried outside of God's kingdom, he already had his issues already. He was doing things wrong, but he still was God's man to lead, and God can deal with that. But she brought all of her gods.
Right.
She brought all of our Asheroth and Dagon and all these different gods, and I believe he was already, but I'm not sure. But he took it to the next level when he married her in regards to Baal worship, and he built a temple, and he provoked God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God loves us. You know, you can love your child, but your child can provoke you.
Yes.
You know, you can love your husband, but your husband can provoke you.
Mm-hmm.
I go in Texas all over the place now. They're like, yes, all these wives are going, no. you know, you can love somebody and you still can be, you know, God does not, if God's, I don't know, I guess the Greek is ticked off, it doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means you hurt his heart. It means we've hurt his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to heal a hurt heart with humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like, I was so wrong.
Yeah.
I was so wrong. he's locking up over here. Pass locking. He kind of looked away and kind of put his head down and kind of jerked a little bit. It's like, oh my goodness. Anyway, just it's so, because when somebody can say, you know, to a human being, not to God himself, but go to the human being and say, listen, and they are able to pinpoint that area and just say, you know, that was wrong and I'm sorry. You know, would you forgive me? That's empowering. And if a man can figure that out, how to be healed in that area, then God's perfect. He'll be like, that's all I wanted. It's cool. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you can mess it up by starting to beat yourself and start trying to earn now what God just gave you by grace and saying, you know, I should need to beat myself some more because it was too easy for him to forgive me.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then he's like ticked off at you again. I was like, you're going to do this by works? You're beating yourself? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He still loves you, but he's ticked off.
Right.
And so, you know, understanding this is knowing that I'm like all over, you know, forgiveness.
Well, it just helps out because so often we try to make it so much more difficult, and you know, the whole message of God's forgiveness is mm-hmm. not by what we did.
Right.
You know, he says, while we were still sinners, while we were still missing, you know, the mark in every way, shape, and form, Jesus walked it out perfectly so that we can just say, I just need Jesus.
Right.
And when we acknowledge where we have missed on every level, to say, I just want to try this again. And we just ask, God, help me walk this out. Help me to be where you've called me to be. And he just says, I can work with that. And when we acknowledge, it's like, I don't have it right. I don't do it perfectly. I'm not, mm-hmm. quote unquote, better than someone else trying to walk it out.
Right.
God's like, I can work with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, understanding that where we're at, that some serious things are taking place around mm-hmm. us right now. You know, some major things have happened. And when God's telling us, when he's telling us in 2005 what's going to be happening in 2011, and we're going to hit that today, and telling us in 2008 what's going to be happening 3 years into this presidential campaign,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to find out God already spelt it out. Remember when Dutch Sheets went around with Chuck Pierce, and they went to every single state to hear God mm-hmm. over that state?
Yeah, I remember that.
And when they did that, that's when what was said over Alabama, you know, was going to be taking place. And it was interesting that you're just going to hear some stuff. I don't want to talk about it. And then you hear it. You just need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to bless you. It's going to be some of the toughest times, you know, coming, but it's going to be the best time for the church. It's going to be the most awesome time. We've been preparing mm-hmm. for this day. You know, future preparation makes no sense in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Until the future is present.
Right.
And your past present is past.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, oh my goodness, this makes really good sense.
Mm-hmm.
And God always understands this. You got to listen and watch for how God prepared. And you can move quickly. I mean, people have to labor to outside of a mindset, outside of what's taking place. Just like Jesus was bringing in the gospel, the good news, you know, what was there was not receiving him,
mm-hmm.
and but he pressed through, obviously, and thank God, thank
Amen.
Jesus, and yes. And he birthed the church, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so it the church wasn't, and then the church was,
right,
and so God was preparing a place for everybody prior to them even knowing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, you know what I'm saying, and so God's prepared a place. You're not alone. You just don't be insane and continue to do, you know, just, I need to do more religious works. I need to do more, you know, it hasn't been working. It has, you know, it's like,
right.
It's going to be a bit when, if you haven't yet got this revelation, this is going to be the most exciting thing to you. Cause religion is like men's religion. It's like toting bricks. I mean, it's like toting water,
mm-hmm.
but when you get in to God's revelation,
right,
and start being the church and allowing God's Spirit to move through you, you're like in a river. That's the best analogy, where in a river, I mean, go with the flow. I mean, it's what God begins to do. And then all of a sudden the river carries you.
Right.
And you think about it, when you think about heaven, he says, there is a river that flows from the throne of God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And we're meant to flow with God. Because this is God's church.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the head of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is the everything, director of everything that's happening in the church. And if you rule out the Spirit of God, you're ruling out God.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also ruling out how God's Spirit does things.
Right.
And how he'll handle things. And so you're worn out trying to be Holy Spirit Jr.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you're trying to convict people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for an adjective in my next sermon. I'm going to try to find me an adjective. It's like, it ain't going to work. God's going to have to touch their heart. It's mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit that touches their heart. And so so we'll be sharing that word in just a moment. We'll come back after this. You know, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got
mm-hmm.
back, seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had
right.
to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus
mm-hmm.
and fill one particular stadium. And
right.
he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once.
Wow.
And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, You have your VFN radio. You have Facebook. You have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. If you ever heard someone speak about the word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski this morning. We are so glad to be able to come here and encourage you. I can't wait to share that prophetic word with you from Chuck Pierce. It's coming up. The Lord has let us know about this day, and right on time, just like God said, things are taking place, and it's us understanding how to respond to the signs of the times, the seasons of the times, the timings, like the timings of Issachar. And if we understand the seasons and the times, and we understand God's perspective, and if we're hearing God, God's going to tell us what to do and how to respond to it.
That's right.
And we're going to hear very specific. As a matter of fact, we're going to end with a prayer about, you know, praying for repentance about anti-Semitism to be able to just kind of break that off of us and our bloodline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be very, very encouraging. But first, you know, Steve, you were talking to me about, you know, we're really focusing on, you know, the disciples or the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the God's people at that time. And Israel asked Jesus, because he had Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was happening all around them, you know, and of course they were really involved more in trickery and all that.
Right.
Towards him. And so they were asking him this question because they had so many laws. I mean, so many laws. And he says, Jesus, they go, Jesus, you know, out of all these laws, if you had to pick, what's the most important of them all? I mean, of all the Word of God and everything in there. I mean, right. Can you imagine that? Cool to think. You mean I can like know one thing
just
and
one,
do one thing well,
right.
And so they think he's just going to pick one. And so he says, "Well, you know, of course, the Lord thy God is one."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God."
Mm-hmm.
With all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, and all your
soul.
And then he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, everything that ever was written, you know, all the commandments, hangs on these.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness, if I could get these down, I won't even have to focus on those because that will just naturally progress out of my life.
Yeah.
You know, then you start thinking, oh, it's love. This is what most people do. Most people know how to demand love from others. You don't love me. If you just love me more, me, love me, you need to love me. If I would love, you know, we know how to demand love, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to give it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat's right eye is twittering.
And we just have it so backwards from what is taught or what we think love is or how to, quote unquote, give love. Because a lot of times we think it's tangible loves or giving them a present or giving somebody a quote unquote thing or something I can buy for you.
Or flesh love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have unconditional love. You have phileo love, which is, you know, flesh love, you know, and that's pretty much what you see what's happening today in society and what people are wanting.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting, you know, make my flesh feel good, you know, but God loves us with the unconditional love.
Right.
You know, heart love.
That's right.
And so then, you know, so he tells us love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's why you always hear us, you know. You know, don't forget how simple it is. Mm-hmm. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same.
Right,
that's right.
But yet it's profoundly deep.
There's a lot in that.
There's a lot in that.
There's a lot in that.
Because he says, you know, if you love me, obey me.
Right.
Okay, the obedience. Then obedience is tied into the empowerment that comes from the cross and your dependency on an abiding relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just kind of just all kind of streams out from loving God.
Right.
And, you know, loving him all with our heart is different than loving him with our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because our soul is what we think, what we want, and what we feel, you know, and it has to be transformed when you are born again, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a Greek word used there that means soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of the church. I mean, if 97% are not even reading their Bible and the 18% are reading it, only 3% are concerned about where they are on the map of God's word.
Right.
That's called unrenewed souls. It's a carnal church.
Yeah.
You know? And we were designed
to love God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who doesn't understand that is like, well, that's kind of self-serving. No, it's not, because when you love God, you get a revelation of his love for you. It just gets released. And it's like this awesome thing that happens. And it's like, it's
like a security almost. It's like you're able to just let go and you're just able to just let God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to me, it's so freeing when you get that revelation, when it just kind of clicks.
Right.
And it's like you've been going after it for so long. And you're like, God, how do I love you, God? How do I buy you a box of chocolates?
Yeah. where's the checkoff list? Okay. I read your Bible. Check. I prayed. Check.
Yeah.
You fell in love yet, God?
I'm not feeling it yet. I'm feeling worse than when I started.
Right. Okay. I will attend the church gathering this week. Check. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going like, this doesn't feel loving. It's like, you know, use your wife come in and fix you breakfast and go, check.
Yeah, right. And then hold out the checklist to you and say, see, I checked it. Right. See what I did?
See, I'm loving you, baby.
Right.
And so when you're finding that out, that I just thought about something. Anyway, so
can't talk about that.
I have these moments. Well, I was just thinking about. Never mind. So then, if you can't hear my smile, I'm sorry. So
be careful, your head might fall off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to connect. You know, it's very dangerous. You know, if your smile ever connects, it'll just fall right off. You make sure you're on level ground and you got a good bubble in your level and that you smile all the way around, because if not, it'll stay there when you finish your smile.
Yeah.
That was deep. You have to go ahead. Go to the highlights. You'll get it.
Yeah.
But then you start, when I started revealing what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it was so refreshing because we want so bad to, you know, he loved us while we were a mess, and the mess that we're in now, he still loves us. and we want to love him.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes because of that desire, the enemy will pervert that and have us start getting into works.
Right.
And we're going to love God. What we've begun in the spirit, now all of a sudden, now we're trying to just do some religious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting more miserable and more miserable. It's like, mm-hmm. do you feel in love yet, God? I'm not feeling anything. And then sometimes the enemy starts telling you, convincing that person who's walking to that, says, well, to love God, that means you have to feel terrible about it. I mean, you personally are not going to enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm.
But then the enemy says, but it's all right because look what he's done for you. And it's like, that's no, that's not it. It's an awesome encounter with a loving God. You can't do this. It's an empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God's love that empowers us. And it is sin that disempowers us. And works of the flesh that just separate us from the love of God. And so in this, you know, you begin to explore that. You know, what does that mean to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? It means, you know, so many things. It's so deep. And it's like, oh, I could spend the rest of my life,
just,
you know,
loving God.
Loving God and learning how to love him more. And it's like the more you love him, the more his love for you is revealed.
And the more you want to give that back.
Yeah, it's just like this, oh.
And back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like we can only love him with the amount of the love that we understand
right.
and just receive. And it's just that back and forth, back and forth.
Right, right. And so you were sharing with me some of your experience, and we were talking about loving God with all your mind. This blows me away. You know, you're not going to believe this, but somebody could be sitting with you. You could actually be sitting with your teenage child in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking about something totally outside that has nothing to do with the family at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could be sitting with your spouse and you're physically close together, but their mind is somewhere totally different.
Right. And they're not present, and you can see it, and you can kind of just know the fact that, yeah, I know you're not listening. I know you're not there with me. I know you're not present. You're not in.
And the argument with that is saying, the argument is the saying that I've been here.
Right.
I'm here.
Right.
I'm sitting here listening to you. Is it, yeah, but your mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Your mind. What has got a lot on my mind? Well, obviously, I'm not on your mind. Right?
Exactly.
And so they don't, so we can actually love God with our presence. That's a good thing. But then we can actually say, you know what? I got to pay attention to where my mind is.
Exactly.
And because he tells me that I'm to love him with all of my mind. So Jesus would walk up, when you're reading about him and what he did and what he said, he would just walk up and say, knowing what was on their mind, he said.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God says, knowing what was on their mind, he said,
mm-hmm.
listen, God knows what's on your mind.
Right.
You know, and not to be aware of that is not to be aware of how you're not loving God with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when you're aware of that, it's not that your thought life is squeaky clean or just perfect, and the enemy doesn't try to tempt you, or just bad thoughts or sad thoughts or whatever comes your way. But you're mindful of them.
You're aware of what you're thinking about.
You're mindful of your mind, and you're thinking like, well, that was not a pleasing thought, so I'm not going to have that thought.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not going to think that way. And that's loving God, isn't
right.
it? So tell me about your experience here.
Well, thinking about, as we're talking about thinking about, just being aware of like, God, how do I love you? How do I love you? And you were talking about loving God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And I've been asking, it's just like, God, help me to love you. Help me to love you. Help me to love you. And going into his word and what he's sharing is like Jesus was the very exact walking out image of God. He's everything, and how he loved people, they did not love him. Many people, you know, pulled out at his beard, they spit at him, they punched him, they just spoke so negatively of him, but he never backed himself up.
Mm-hmm.
He never defended himself. He never said, well, I did this, and did you know who I was? And well, he never had just that defensive argument.
Like us.
Exactly. Like we do all the time. And it's just like,
I am a sinner. Don't you understand that?
And it's almost like our first response is immediately like, well, I did not do that, or I did this, or I did that.
Offensiveness and defensiveness.
Exactly.
And as if we have something to offend.
Right.
And something to defend.
Right. And I think about how Jesus loved people by just letting God back him up. He was a man of no reputation.
And he made himself. I mean, he didn't come with a default.
Yeah.
He made himself no reputation.
And I think about one of the words of wisdom that was shared recently on the VFN program was that the glory of the Lord is to overlook an offense.
Mm.
Do people speak bad about
you? The glory of a man.
Or was it the glory? Okay, I'm sorry.
Of a man.
Thank you. And I just, that just totally hit me. And it was just like, do people ever speak bad about you? Do they ever point fingers at you? Or, you know, the moment you lose your job or the moment wherever. And it's amazing. Like, when you think about it, that I've been praying and asking God. And over all these years, God has put me in a job of customer service.
Right.
And it's just like, you have all these people all of a sudden are just like demanding all these things. And immediately you just want to lash back. But then you're just like, and it just hits you because you realize that God has definitely just put you in those opportunities to love him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost at those moments when you feel that, where you feel the least love, or like you quote unquote feel it least. That's when you're loving God the most because you're putting others first.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
your
just
flesh
like,
is not like going, feeling like, ooh,
exactly.
This is great. Oh,
exactly.
Man.
And it just clicked because I just, it's like God was giving me those opportunities to love him, but I was just seeing the moment and not being able to see God in that moment. And it was just like, oh. And
it's important too to understand that if we can't define what God's expecting from us,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have to get into his word and search him out, as we were talking about yesterday, that it won't make sense. It's like this whole situation is getting in my way because I'm trying to love God here versus this is my moment.
Right.
This is the moment that I love him.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's doing things, he says, when he tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you and despite, not just use you, but despitefully use you.
Mm.
Right.
Right.
They do it with spite. You know, some people like
come against you.
Yeah, some people would just, you know, nicely use you, and then you have people that despitefully use you.
Yeah,
and it's like, can I lash back for the despiteful use? Is that right?
Right.
And so, you know, somebody says, "Well, yeah, I pray for my enemies. Dear God, take them out."
Right.
You know, that's how David prayed in Psalms.
David
like,
prayed that.
Break their teeth. Yeah. Break their teeth. You know, I remember one time, an intercessor, and I thank God for the intercessors who are lined up with the voice of the Lord. And rightly related, but the ones that are kind of out there, kind of like, it's like Ray Hughes. Ray Hughes says, I don't understand it, but just go ahead and grab the chicken and run around the room. He's hilarious, you know. And he says, I don't know how to act if I get into a hotel room that the towel doesn't fit in my ear. Those little cheap, thin towels they have at the cheap hotels versus the big, fluffy ones,
right?
Anyway, so the understanding that that it's measurable,
mm-hmm.
and that you're not, we're not trying to get past this now to get to the next thing. This is our thing. This one moment in time.
In the moment.
And people are trying to, you know, enemy and everybody and sometimes yourself are trying to pressure you to get through now to get to the, to what's coming. And it's like, hey, you're, what's coming is not going to come until you get through your now.
Right.
You know, God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And God is looking at us now. Mm-hmm. He's in the now. He's the I am, not the I will be or the I was. And he's watching how we're going to love him in this frictitious moment when our flesh is crawling, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, your body chemicals are out of whack. You know, maybe everything that God is asking from you, your flesh is screaming, going, no, I don't want this. And pressure. Maybe your boss is demanding things from you. Maybe, you know, your wife or your husband or your children or your parents, whatever, you know, just everything's going to be pressuring on you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can get this revelation, it's like, you know, I just got to love him in this moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to be willing to die because there's plenty of people willing to kill you.
Oh yeah.
And if you're now, this is something, if you're not willing to experience loss, bad reputation and death,
mm-hmm.
two little things, then you're going to be constantly struggling because you're going to have a contention. You're going to be prideful because you're trying mm-hmm. to save your reputation. You're trying to save your life.
Mm.
You know, and I always say this, but if you really think about it, a lot of people just don't even think about nothing. They just kind of just do. You know, without thinking. But if you really think about your life, it's like people fight so hard to live.
Mm.
And it's amazing. I mean, it's like, pray for me. I'm going to die. And it's like, but you haven't lived to this point. I mean, wouldn't you just want to go be with God at this point? I mean, are you going to do anything differently? I mean, you got gold streets waiting for you, you know.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the lower floor. I don't know. But hey, it's better than what you're doing right now for, you know, God. I mean, if you're going to live, why should God give us one more breath? And it's like, they try so hard to live. It just always shocked me. And it's like, why? So you can pay one more mortgage payment, so you can watch one more reality TV show, so you can complain about one more message being taught by somebody who's trying to get people to, you know, why?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're having told 95% of the people that profess to be Christians have not led one person to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not to go so you can evangelize the world and win them to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you really enjoying the life you have? I mean, I'm not enjoying your life. I mean, you think about it, but you could make a decision. I remember some time back when I was in law enforcement, I had this call, and it calls when they call you out to mm-hmm. their place or whatever, and had this young, teenage high school football player, and believe it or not, he was having a dispute with his father. His father was a military man, and of course, it's a real tough thing for boys to grow up to be men and fathers to allow their sons to grow up. And just that's a real tough thing, how to figure that out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought about some comedic things that I heard, you know, but I won't bring that up now. And so, I mean, bless his heart, you know, I went in there and his dad was in one part of the house. And the officer that came with me, he went with the guy's dad. And I went into his room, and he was sitting there on the end of his bed. You know, somebody that's worked hard his whole life as a young kid. I mean, if you're a football player, it didn't just happen. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. he's done the practices, and he's pushed through, and he's going to school at the same time. But most people are just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he's so brokenhearted. He feels like everything is crashing in.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to end his life. I mean, he wants to end his life. I mean, obviously, the contention between him and his father. I mean, as a teenager, doesn't matter what it is, it's all the end of the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like in the natural sense, he has everything going for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, inside of him, he felt like it was all over. There's no reason to go on.
Right.
You know? And so I'm talking with him, you know, and ministering to him and trying to reach out to him where he's at that particular point. And then I finally just said this. I said, just go with me for a moment. Go with me for a moment with this. I said, just imagine that you did in your life.
Mm.
If you ended your life, which you don't want to do, if you end your life, then it's all over. And there's nothing else you could do. I mean, it is over. It's going to just totally end. And at that time, I wasn't a believer, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, or imagine this. Act like you ended your life. The life that you don't like now. All the decisions that you're making now. You know, all the things that you've done now. Everything that you feel like you just disgusted with. Just act like you ended that life and begin to live the life that you want to live. Mm. I wasn't even a believer. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And what it is, most people are frustrated like that because you won't make the decision to break away from patterns of behavior and relationships. Mm-hmm. And you won't let yourself go. You won't break off things. And you keep trying to carry dead things and bad decisions and brokenness and dragging all this stuff with you. I mean, you can just make a decision and just say, I'll just act like I did. If somebody says, well, I can't believe all of a sudden they just picked up and moved to such and such or got a new job. You know, sometimes people have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let people do whatever they have to do what God's called them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pressure them to stay within your box.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to do. And you know what? His whole face lit up. He just never crossed his mind that he could, you know, do this. He could just say, make decisions. You know what I'm saying? He got hopeful. And that's what was us as believers, you know, when you start looking at our relationship with God.
Right.
If you're willing just to die to the old man and willing to just say, and there's people that won't. They will not change. They want to be your Samsonite. You know, they want to be your luggage that kind of goes with you. And it's like, you know, I can't carry my own luggage, and I'm definitely not going to carry your luggage.
Right.
And so,
I know that's right.
Got some amens in there. Yeah. Like, and so, amen. And so the thing is that I'll tell you how to get rid of your luggage, but I'm not going to tote your baggage around, you know? And, it was such a beautiful thing because, I mean, he could have ended his life that day, but he just could not see outside of his present circumstances.
Right.
And when we're loving God and we're looking at that pressure that's on us and all those things that are taking place, like the service calendar that you're talking about, and it's going to just increase because the more pressure that's on America, and it's about to really increase, I mean, they're not hating on you. That if you're providing customer service or realize they're under such great pressure and stress, they're just lashing out at anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And you can probably take that time to tell them, God loves you. You can start over again. It's not about 4.2%. I said 5.2, but it's actually 4.2% of the population. Mm-hmm. That's America. But we have given 25% of the charity giving in the world, by the way, mm-hmm. even though we're 4.2%. And so you can just make different decisions. And we're going to be going through a time right now with so many things taking place. We are going to be known by our love for God. That's what we're going to be known for. He says,
right.
in the great times of calamity and things are taking place, they're going to look at you and they're going to see your peace. And this is what just your calmness and your peace, because you're willing to take a loss. You know, he says, if somebody hits you in one cheek, you're willing to turn the other cheek. If somebody borrows from you, you're willing to lend it to them without expecting anything back. You know, and if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you're willing to go 2 miles. I mean, so you're willing to take a loss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not concerned about looking. Being humble. You're not worried about how people look at you. You don't mind carrying somebody's baggage an extra 2 miles, not baggage that we're talking about, but they say, you know, carry my coat or my shield. The soldier says, carry my shield for a mile, whatever. You carry it for 2 miles. We're not worried about, hey, I look less than because I'm actually, you know, shining somebody's shoes. I mean, it doesn't bother us.
Right.
And that we're not worried about loss of life.
Right.
But to us, it's gain.
Mm-hmm.
It's gain. It's a reward. We run to our reward. Yeah. And
we walk in lightning storms.
Yeah, yeah, right. There was a day that lightning or thunderstorm or whatever, you just kind of run from something to something to get out of the storm. But once you're walking with God and you're going through all the processes, it's like, what do? I walk very slow through thunderstorms. I play golf under oak trees. It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
But the peace that you have in the midst of that storm, this is what the Word of God tells us. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to grab this peace, which comes through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing Him as Lord, because you can make those decisions I was talking about with that teenager. And it was so beautiful to watch. It was so horrific to watch somebody who had everything going for him and it was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
But it was beautiful to see him get the revelation, the aha moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I doing? I can just, if it doesn't work here, even in my natural family's house, I can live somewhere else. If me and my father's not getting along, I can live somewhere else. I don't have to, you know, all these different things that you could think about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can live that. But our peace in the midst of what's coming and what is now here is a witness to those who don't know God. It's a huge witness. You don't even have to open your... You're going to start winning people to God just through your peace. I mean, there's nothing worse, you know, when you're... As an officer, a police officer, and you write somebody a ticket, because you had to write tickets, traffic tickets and all. And you wouldn't know anything about that, right? Okay.
No comment.
Well, that was quiet. people don't want to hear this. I mean, you just wrote them a $300 ticket. You know, and I don't do that anymore.
Don't come to me.
No emails or anything like that. But, you know, and they're upset because you just gave them a $300 power bill they didn't know they had.
Oh my God.
I mean, you just gave them $300 debt.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take that into consideration when you're talking to the person, the citizen that you just wrote a ticket to. You don't say something like, have a nice day.
Yeah, right.
Because that's going to really upset them. So I'm not talking about that kind of peace. I'm talking about a careful peace that you're just calm inside. You're watching the situation. They're very volatile, like the military man that you were talking about, you know, sometime back on VFN radio, that everything was crashing in on him, even to the point where he looks at his wife and he tells her, you're going to have to find another man. You're making too many demands on me. And I mean, everything, his disability was ending, all these things were happening, you know, still. And that's what you're going to see is people will turn to you or turn to government. Everybody's making demands that they're not going to be able to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't let people do that to you.
Right.
You know, you got to say, you got to turn to God. You know, let's pray. You know, right?
Right.
Anyway, and so your peace, this is what God's word says, your peace in the midst of all of that will be a witness to them that you're going to be saved. Not necessarily that your life won't end and you'll be saved. You'll be in heaven if your life ends. And it says you'll be saved and that by God, and they'll be destroyed in this turmoil if they don't turn to God.
Right.
Look at your awesome witness that you can have. So you need to get your peace. You need to get your footing because this boat is rocking and is about to rock, and you get your sea legs. You need to get your sea legs. We'll talk more about that in the extra hour. But listen, there is hope. Jesus is our peace. Well, we've come to the end of the first hour. What a wonderful, wonderful time that we've had. For those that won't be joining us in the extra hour, don't forget you can hear us on VFN Radio on your applications, phones, iPads, and all those wonderful things out there. Those that are joining us in the extra hour, we'll be seeing you on the other side. God bless.